Much so thankful that is here. But our hope is not in a vaccine, family. Our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in anything this world provides. But our hope is in the Messiah. And we worship that Messiah today. We are here today to offer ourselves to Him for what He has given to us. A hope of an eternal home with Him. A hope of no pain. A hope of no suffering. The hope that brings us joy that cannot be taken away. And I'm going to dive into that hope. The girls and I were listening to the radio, and there's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. And it says, "Diving In." And he says, I'm all in. I'm diving in. And so this morning as we worship, let us dive in to the hope of the Messiah and the hope that he brought to us. Today is a little different, a little the same, but a little different. I want to let you guys know as a family, as a body of believers, that Doug and myself and Lindsay and all the elders have, since this virus began to wreak its havoc on us, have prayed over you and over this body of believers in this town and this country. Today, we want to bring you in on that. Not just individual prayers, but as a collective effort we've talked about over the last several weeks about how do we take what we've done individually, all of us, and bring it together. So today is a day of prayer. Today is a day in which we will offer up to God our prayers for His guidance and our need for Him. You know, it was interesting because in the book of Joshua, all of the campaigns, all of the battles that were fought were won, except the one that they did not consult God in, bring Him in at the very beginning. And so we as a body of believers, as your staff and as your elders, and you'll see all of us, pretty much most all of us up here today, will be offering prayers. Wayne will be leading songs. And the songs were picked out specifically because many of them are prayers to God for what He can do and will do with us. Each step I take, I know my Savior will lead me and guide me. And so today is a day of prayer. While we will do some of the things we normally do, and it will kind of flow some of the same ways, there will be a few more prayers, and there will be the songs that are offered as prayers. So this is our effort. This is our pleading to God. In the middle of a crisis in this world, how much we need Him. And as we face the battle, not only today, but tomorrow and the next week and the next month, that we need Him and that we desperately need to hold on to Him, and we need to know where He wants us to go and what He wants us to do. How will this body look in the future? What will this city look like in the future? And how will we work and how will we lead others to Christ in the future? We need God. And so today is a day of prayer. Today is a day of seeking Him. And so I pray that you join us, whether you're here on the radio or on Facebook Live, in our pleading to God for help as one body, together in God's kingdom, serving in Roswell, New Mexico. Let's pray together as we begin this pleading from God and asking Him to help. Father, in all of this world, in everything we need nothing greater than we need You. Father, it hurts to see people die, and it hurts to see people suffer. And honestly, Father, sometimes we don't see an end to the struggle that we're facing. It seems that COVID-19 is greater than we are. It seems that though we have some promising things in this world to help us, that we fail and we fall every day. And as we enter this time when we talk about family and holidays and love and laughter, there's so much hurt and so much heartache. Father, as we continue to battle in this world, in your kingdom, to be your people who you would have us to be, we need you. Father, cleanse our hearts of any sin. Make us whiter than snow through your blood, through your word, through your power. Father, we desperately need you. Father, we fail when it's left to us. When it's up to us, we seem to mess things up in this world. And so we come to you this morning, asking, begging, pleading for you to give us guidance. For you not to allow us to walk out of this room without feeling the guidance of your Holy Spirit, without feeling the nudge of the direction that we need to go, without the leaders, the shepherds in this church, feeling your presence so heavy in their heart and so just there that they know which direction to go. And for those who hurt and those who suffer and those who have lost, Father, let us not end this time of worship without feeling your Holy Spirit so heavy and comforting on our souls. Father, we believe in you and we believe you are here. Holy Spirit, we believe that you will move within us through this next few moments. Father, we need you, and we love you, and we honor you, and we worship you today. Through the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. We plead through the name of Jesus, and the whole church said, amen. Let's worship together.
Let's sing number 281. I kind of messed up my knee this week, and so I'm going to try not to have to climb that. But let's all sing number 281. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Of praises I will ever give to thee. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee. Number 287. 287. Each step I take, my Spirit goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home.
The last 9 months have been interesting, to say the least. If you would have asked me 25 years ago if I'd ever see something like what I've seen the last 9 months, I would say I seriously doubt it. And if you would have told the super introverted preacher 30 years ago, you're going to get to do nothing but be by yourself with your books for months and months and months, I would have said, can't wait. And I can't wait now to be back among my people. It's been an interesting 9 months. For me, it has been one of study and reflection. Part of it is I'm in the office only a limited time, and part of being out of the office is there's few interruptions. There's no walk-ins off the street. There's no conversations. There's no visitors that come through. There's no VBS distractions. There's none of the crazy that goes on in a church on a normal calendar year. And it's just me with a Bible and a chair and a stack of books. In some ways, that has been good. In some ways, that has been my dream retirement job, to be me in a comfy chair and my Bible and a stack of books. It's also been good because I've had to pray different. This is going to sound strange to you, but when I get here early and nobody is here, I often come and I sit on this stage. And I look out, and you all sit in the same pews every week forever. And I pray over you. And so I start on this pew and I work my way. Greg is usually one more back, but we got that roped off. And I work my way up this pew one day, and then I sit here early another day, and I work my way up this section. And I just pray over those families that occupy those seats. And I pray for those little kids that run up and down those aisles. And I pray for those parents who are raising those little kids. And I pray for those who are taking care of moms and dads. And that prayer has changed. Because the prayer now has been, I hope I get all those people back in those seats eventually. That I hope I get those people back who sat there before and who were on the edge with their faith. And who were wrestling with who they thought God was, and they were wrestling with what God's purpose might have been in their lives, or they were wrestling in their marriage, or wrestling in one of a thousand other ways, and my prayer time has changed. I was reading an article the other day, and the article said, sometimes we need to stop preaching and start praying. And that's what we're going to do this morning. But first I'm going to preach, and then we're going to pray, but not preach very long. Because prayer is woven all through the Bible. One of the things Michael and I are going to do starting next Sunday is we're going to work through some of the great prayers of the Bible, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I hope you'll join with us as not only we preach through those, but as we pray through those. Because sometimes we need to stop preaching and start praying. See, prayer was always a central feature when the church gathered. In Acts 2, at the very end of that great chapter that has the kind of startup of the church, so to speak, you get this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. See, prayer was important. You go on a little bit, a couple chapters into Acts chapter 4, and you've got Peter and John who are arrested because of their preaching. And in the midst of them being arrested, there's a trial that kind of, well, it's kind of sort of a trial, but they're held before the council, and the council makes a decision and lets them go. And here's what Luke picks up after that. It says, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Now, this is the gathering of the disciples. This isn't Peter and John. And here's what they say. Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles. They're still praying. And the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I want to go back one slide to pick up again in verse 29. Hear their prayer. And Lord, consider their threats. Consider what's going on in the world. I think the group is there as they're probably a smaller group than us, but they're gathered together in a house, and they've got the two kind of sort of convicted felons sitting among them, and there are Peter and John in their midst, and you know the story is unfolded of what's going on in their world. And let me paraphrase, consider what the world is doing, and may we speak the word with great boldness. I think that would be my sermon to you this morning. Consider what the world has handed us. Now, your two preachers have not been in jail. Your two preachers do not stand before the city council and defend themselves and have one voice of reason say, maybe we should let them out because this could be a disaster if we don't. But maybe we need to say to God, consider the world we live in and help us be bold. Paul would say in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then I urge that supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people. That Paul's talking to Timothy there and he's saying, here's what matters. Here's one of the things that we need to be doing first and foremost above all else. We need to be praying for everybody. Because ultimately, prayer is an intimate meeting with God. Okay, most of my prayer time is either spent sitting on these steps thinking of these pews or is spent in a quiet place in a soft chair with just a book. And in those moments, that is God and I. That is a moment that to me is sacred and to me is rooted in the example of Jesus. But it's one that needs to go beyond just me in the closet with God. Because prayer is very much corporate as well. In Luke 11, Jesus is asked by his disciples, "Teach us how to pray." And he gives a very corporate prayer that begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." In Luke 11, verses 5 through 13, the story is told of a father who will do more than is asked for. And I think the point that Jesus is making is, won't your God do the same for you? Then in Luke chapter 18, there's the parable of the persistent widow. There's the woman who keeps going to the judge, who keeps asking and begging. And the story is going to unfold where eventually the judge is going to give in. And Jesus will say, isn't your God better than that? And then you'll have the story that ends that little section of the tax collector who can't even stand before God. But instead, with a hung head low, he's banging his chest saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, I think all of those analogies are important for us. Because now, maybe more than ever, and that's probably not true, but certainly now we have been reminded more than ever that we need the mercy of God. That certainly now, maybe more than ever in our lives, we need to be reminded that it's okay to ask over and over and over again, begging God to intervene. And that it's okay because we're talking to a Father who is in heaven. And so we have this great privilege. Okay, there are few that have this privilege in my life. There are only two people that at any moment a call can come and I will take that call. They both appear on my phone with their faces. And one is the face of a tall redhead, and the other is a face of an even taller brown-headed goofy kid. And they get uninhibited access to their father. I don't care if it's the middle of the night. I don't care if it's the middle of a church service sometimes. It doesn't matter when those two need their father. Well, I guess one doesn't need their father. That's an image I don't want. Anytime they need it, they've got it. That is the relationship we have with God. Instant access. This prayer is intimate and it's open. This prayer is honest and sometimes broken. And this prayer is confident and expectant. See, that's how my prayer life has been lately. It's been open. It's been, God, I don't know what to do to help lead this church in the next months to come. I don't know what to do to help get us through the frustration and the depression and the difficulty of COVID-19. And I don't know what to do to help figure everything out as we try to get back to normal. And so I come before him honest. And I come before him heartbroken. I come before him broken not only in my own failings and in my own frustrations, but in my own realization that I've messed up plenty. But then I also come confident and expectant. Because the God that I serve, if I read the Bible right, he will answer and he will deliver. And so we're going to spend some time in songs of prayer and in prayers of prayer for about the next 20 minutes as we strive to realize how good our God is. So we're going to ask Tim to begin our prayer service.
For just a minute, think about that word guidance. Just think about the word guidance. What does that mean to you? It's defined as advice or information aimed at resolving a problem or difficulty, especially as given by someone in authority. We all have GPSs, I would assume. How often are those GPSs wrong if the right information is put in those? How often do we doubt those GPSs when it seems like there's no way I'm going in the right direction? Let's read from Proverbs, shall we? Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust and don't lean on your understanding. Let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? All-powerful and loving Father, we know we are weak. We acknowledge that we don't lean on you enough, and we make many, many, many mistakes. Please help us to always come to you, dear Lord. Please guide us when we are weak. Please give us your help and wisdom, your strength and protection. Help us to always remember you are there for us. Help us to remember, dear Lord, that we are your representatives to the world around us. Guide us to stop, look, and listen and ask for your direction. Please guide us, dear Lord, to live our lives in a way that brings honor to your name each and every day. For that's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Number 670. I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Number 295. He leadeth me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Tim led us in prayer from the perspective of us as individual Christians being of service to one another, serving God by loving and serving one another. And I appreciate his prayer so much because I know him so well, and I know what is in his heart. I know how much he thinks about each individual in this church family, how he worries about you when you're not doing well, how he seeks God's guidance in everything he does to try to serve individuals. But I want to offer a prayer now in a little different perspective, asking God to help us as a group of Christians, not as just individuals, but as an organization of Christians, as a church family, as a congregation of God's people working in this community. And that's going to be a big deal in the months to come. We have, as a congregation, had to make some serious decisions over the last several months about how to comply with state law and still do what we think is right in God's sight, how to protect one another from the spread of this virus, all of these things that we've had to do without any training, without any experience. We were not here the last time we had a pandemic. So we will have some difficult decisions in the month to come about how to restart and how to use our resources best to get back into action, how to use our resources, how to use our group resources to serve this community. So we're going to pray now over us as a church family, a church congregation, as we prepare for this year to come. So let us pray to God. Our God who is in heaven, we ask you to guide our church family in all that we do, especially in this coming year, Father, when we know that changes will need to be made. Help us in everything that we do as a congregation to turn to the scriptures first, to guide us in our understanding of your word. Guide us as a group, Father, in our application of your word. Guide us, Lord, as a congregation in presenting to you by prayer everything that we endeavor to do and everything that we, as a family of believers, consider doing. Guide us, Lord, by your wisdom, not our own understanding, as we dedicate our collective offerings to your works in this community. Guide our hearts, Lord, in everything that we do as a family of Christians. Commit this new year to do so that we serve in love. Love for you, love for Christ, love for this family, love for our community. Let us trust you, Father, to guide us as a church family in every decision, every work, every change, to lean not on our own preferences or our own past or our own understandings, but to trust you. Love us, teach us, guide us, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Before our prayer, I'm going to read three or four verses so that we can focus on these verses during our prayer. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. John 13:35-36. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who is disbelieved shall be condemned. And in Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and we glorify you. And we come to you today focusing on reaching out, Lord. And there's groups of people that we want to pray for. Those who have obeyed the gospel but may not be currently obeying the scriptures. Those who are lost, who have not obeyed the gospel according to the scriptures in Roswell. And then the lost in this state, this nation, and all around the world. Lord, from scriptures we realize that our first priority are those around us in our community. Those who are not obeying. And of course, the second is the lost throughout the world. Lord, help us to get our hearts right in order to reach out to the lost. We know that love attracts the lost. Help us to attract others to Christ. Help us to be a shining light, a beacon on the hill. Let us be ambassadors for Christ through our love. And Lord, help us to show our faith during this COVID crisis. And Lord, we understand that you do not wish that any should perish. Help us to seek first his kingdom and help us to love one another and help us to be examples for others to see so that they know that we are disciples of you. And Lord, help us to go into the world and help us to realize that go ye means go me. Help us to be on our lips everywhere we go. Help us to be the shining example that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing number 288. 288. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be, just a closer walk with thee. Through this world of toils and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be, just a closer walk with thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me to that peaceful shore. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, this my plea. Daily let it ever be, just a closer walk with thee.
I once had the opportunity to be assessed by a corporate psychiatrist in determining what might make good leaders for the corporation. She asked me a simple question as to what I thought was my worst personal attribute or habit. And I said, impatience. And she says, you know, many corporations think great leaders have impatience. They get things out of their way. They don't let things stop them. And I thought back towards being a servant leader, if impatience was indeed a great attribute. I today would say to you, I double down on that statement, that impatience is one of my worst attributes. In fact, I would say it probably points to some of my most difficult relationships. While in the corporate world or in the world it might seem good, I think when it comes to my relationship with God in particular, it's one of the worst things that could have happened to me that I would allow to exist. You know, I think of biblically when David was anointed as king of Israel. He spent some number of years running from Saul's sword. And even when he had the opportunity to end that, he remembered whose plan scheme he was on. Not David's, but the Lord's. I remember Gideon, who said to the Lord, but me? How could I possibly be the one that you would choose? And the Lord said, yes, it's you. And so Gideon did what the Lord asked him. He didn't let his impatience get in the way. I think of the situations that we've been facing over the last months as individuals, as a congregation, as the Lord's people. And I know I've heard the words, I've spoke them myself, I'm sure. of great impatience and unwarranted just ugliness. I'm reminded of Psalm 37. If you have your Bibles, I'd ask that you turn there now. These are the words of our Lord, and we should hear them, and they should reside in our hearts. And they should be the first things that come off our lips, not with impatience, but with purity. The Lord says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. In a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But the swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous, and the days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. And in times of disaster, they will not wither. In the days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish and vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, for the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fail. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was a young man, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them condemn when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you and to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. And though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace, but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in a time of trouble, and the Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked, and he saves them because they take refuge in Him. This morning, as we gather in communion with Christ, we cannot do this with anger and unforgiveness on our hearts. He has said, go settle those matters before you come to me. So this morning we ask that we have righteous hearts, that we have forgiving hearts, that we have loving hearts, as the graciousness of Christ has given to us and has saved us from our own wretchedness. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, for caring, in spite of our iniquities and our wickedness and our wild tongues and our crazy thoughts. We thank you, Father, for loving us anyways. We thank you, Father, for providing such a sacrifice to take someone so blameless and bear our sins on a cross, a crucifix meant for thieves and murderers, those who had blame. He went there for us. We thank you, Father, for reminding us to do this often and each time to do it in remembrance of Him. And this morning we take this bread, and as He passed it to His disciples, asking that they be a part of Him by taking a part of His body in this bread, we ask your blessing upon this bread, that it might nourish us, it might feed our souls. We ask all of this in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen. Our loving Father, you have given us an example of life through Christ, has shown us the light of life. You've given us your word, the biblical text, that we might search in it and gain the word of life, that we might have it close to our hearts. And this morning, Father, as we commune with Christ, we do this in remembrance of Him and His holding of the cup, speaking of the blood of life, that we share in it with Him, and with Him make that declaration to wait upon you and your timing and your plan, not to let ourselves get anxious, not to be impatient, not to make determination of our own will, but always be yours. We ask your blessing upon this fruit of the vine, as it represents the blood of Christ, that we do so in a manner that is pleasing unto thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, we don't come to communion as a obligation, a must to do, something to check off the list. What a blessing it is to have communion with Christ. What an opportunity to share at His table. Separate and apart from the communion, we have this opportunity to pray over the tithings of this church that reach out to so many lives, so far away and even nearby. That's not an obligation either. It's not a check mark. It's not a something you must do. Each of us has different ways in which we can do it. But we ask for the Lord's blessing in any way that we do it. Shall we pray? Our loving Father, we humbly pray before you now over the gifts of this church. You've provided in each of us so much. Sometimes we sit around a table in anguish and bickering and disgust over the situations and the life around us. So much so that we forget to count the blessings. Father, let us be still. Let us look around and count our blessings. Let us share in those blessings that you've given to us. Remind us, Father, that to those that you've given much, much will be expected. We have an obligation for our fellow man. Let us be blessed in those steps and those efforts. Let us be wise in the ways that we use them. We ask this all in Christ's holy and blessed name. Amen.
The longest time Paul ever spends in one place is he spends about 3.5 years, at least that's about the best we can calculate, in a large town called Ephesus. And it seems to be one of those churches that Paul just loves. It's not perfect. In fact, there are moments that it frustrates him, and he's going to write a book to another guy about that church about 15 years after the book of Ephesians that expresses some of his frustrations. But it's a church that he loves like nothing else. I have spent almost my entire ministry career standing right here in this spot, and intend to end my ministry career standing right here in this spot. Because like Paul in the Ephesian church, I love this place more than you will ever know. And it's constantly in my prayers, and it's constantly in my thoughts, and almost everything I do is done through the lens of how it can better this place called Country Club Road that I love so much. In the middle of the book of Ephesians, Paul prays a prayer over that church, and I guarantee, to use the words of Jabari Miller, we're going to unpack this prayer during our study of the prayers of the Bible. But I want to pray it over you like Paul prays it over the Ephesians. And following the amen of that prayer, to do the unimaginable, we are going to sing one of the greatest hymns ever written that speaks about the greatness of our God. If you need us, we'll be standing as we sing How Great Thou Art. I'll be there with Michael. We'll all be at the back with the elders. And if you need us, please come and find us during this time. Whatever it is you need us to do, we will do the best we can. So let's pray the prayer of Ephesians 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Wayne.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
To the God that we serve, we will not get through this without you. To the God that we serve, we will always love and adore you. To the God we serve, we believe that you will lead us and guide us through anything and everything. To this church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let us be dismissed now in peace.